After a good dip in market values yesterday, there appears to have been somewhat of a bounce back in markets. European bourses were trading in the black at last check, while US markets are also on the up, although not convincingly, following declines yesterday, although the Dow Jones is actually in the red for now. The world remains concerned as the coronavirus plays havoc in parts of Europe again, with talk by some of partial lockdowns and the UK having to reimpose some social limitations in that country, for example. The local All-Share Index ended the day down 0.1% to close at 53,265 index points. Financial counters rose 0.5% on the day, while industrials were up 1.23%. It was a bad day for resources, sliding 1.85%. After a rough day yesterday, the currency has picked up some, trading at around 16.74 against the US dollar, 19.59 versus the euro, and 21.29 against the British pound. Well, to break down the markets for us, I'm joined on the line by Nissan Nair. He's Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Securities. Thanks very much for joining us, Nissan. So Petri Redlinghuis, he says, we spoke to him earlier, we do so most afternoons, and he was basically saying that this is turnaround Tuesday. Is that really the case?
I'm not sure. You know, yesterday was really an unusual experience, I think, for a lot of us for quite some time. Not just the market pullback we saw yesterday, but also the volatility on the currency. You know, we've had a little less exciting day today, if I can put it like that. But still, we seem to be on a negative bias, certainly on the local index. You mentioned resources being the biggest attractor there. I mean, that's almost 2% down. I'm pulling the whole market down. But, you know, interestingly enough, it seemed like we were going to break the 56,000 level not so long ago. Now it looks like we are on the downside, and 53 might be a key support level, you know, in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So what do guys like you do at this, you know, when things like this are happening? You sit and wait?
We normally look for opportunities. You know, there's always opportunities in an up or in a down market. But at the same time, one has to be very careful. You know, you don't want to be too hasty in seizing opportunities. And right now, you know, we can talk a little bit about the property companies a bit later on. It's been in the news. But, you know, the resource companies looking a little bit more attractive than they were. The tech companies in the U.S. perhaps also looking a little bit more attractive than they were. But right now, with the currency the way it is, it becomes very difficult. I mean, you know, yesterday we lost 3.5%. Today we opened at about 16.90 or so, traded down to 16.60. You know, that's a 2% move. You know, in a day, it's very hard to call it. But at the same time, I mean, you've got to seek out those opportunities.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in the introduction, there are seemingly a lot more negative variables given the havoc that the virus is now causing in the developed world. Do you think that's going to create even more volatility?
You know, Nampu, if you cast your mind back to 2009, remember we had a big, it was actually in 2008, in September 2008, that we had a big sell-off. And then they, 6 months later, there was an even bigger sell-off, you know, in February, March 2009, just when Obama took office. It seems almost the same thing might happen here. I mean, we've had, well, this time the first sell-off took place in March. Now we're in September, and it seems like the second wave is putting a lot of fear in the hearts of investors, and a lot of people are looking at the improved market values from March and saying, listen, you know, why take the risk now? We can take off, money off the table. And I think we might actually get into that. If you look at the oil price, if you look at the commodity prices, certainly in the last few days, this concern, you know, that this rally that we've seen from April onwards, you know, might actually not be sustainable.
Yeah.
For that reason, people might want to take money off the table.
You take money off the table, then where do you put it?
This is exactly the point. I mean, you know, cash pays you nothing. In fact, you've got to, in most developed worlds now, you've got to pay in to hold cash. Bonds are, you know, very similar. The bond yields are, even 10-year bond yields, you know, are negative in Europe and are almost zero in the U.S. And after fees and costs, you know, you end up actually, it costing you money. So equities are almost by default the only real asset class you can invest in if you're investing for the long term. The problem is, you know, which sectors in the economy do you invest in? Mm. How can you play this as defensively as possible? You know, the counters that were considered defensive, like property, for example, no longer the case. COVID-19 has changed the outlook on a lot of asset classes.
So what is your view on the property sector? I mean, people will always need to use property for one reason or another. Of course, there are lots of debates going on about whether people are going to have to, tone down on the usage of office space. For example, in the UK right now, for example, I did see that a bunch of corporates have now asked their workers to revert back to working at home, having gone back to normal because of, you know, the increase in coronavirus cases.
Yeah, I think property is probably the most interesting. And you mentioned, you know, how do we use property going forward? The traditional office park, I think, is probably going to be a thing of the past. And the only place you're going to be able to see it in a few years' time is going to be in a museum. Because the truth is, no matter what business you have, people have seen the benefits of working from home, notwithstanding the virus. You know, they've seen the cost benefits. Companies have seen the cost benefits. Employees have seen the cost savings as well. So I think that that's something that, that might stay. But if you look at a high prop, also came out with results today. I mean, it was a very bad day for them, unfortunately. But, you know, they mentioned that, and you know, they operate some of the best retail space in South Africa. They indicated that they are considering converting some of that space, you know, into warehouse space for online retail.
Wow.
You know, so even retailers have to rethink, you know, how they make use of shopping malls. 5-10 years ago, retail was the safest place you could play property in.
Mm.
And that's just been turned on its head.
So what's the story with Tongat and Barloworld? I see that both companies came out with statements today. Tongat was supposed to be selling their starch business to Barlow, but then Barloworld came out with statements in connection with the deal, trying to wriggle out of it, citing COVID uncertainty or something like that. Is that deal going ahead or not?
It went to arbitration. Barloworld actually cited what's called a material adverse condition. You can imagine that when these deals are done and the things take a turn for the worse, it does give you a little bit of an escape route.
Mm.
Barloworld tried to invoke that. Unfortunately, the arbitrator did not agree with Barloworld. Didn't feel that COVID-19 was or presented actually a material adverse condition. They used a benchmark of EBITDA and 82% of EBITDA as a kind of like a threshold. And you know, the arbitrator felt that that was attainable this year and therefore did not present a material adverse condition, and therefore Barloworld needed to maintain its commitment to purchase this business. So both companies came out. I think it was a relief for Tongat shareholders.
Definitely.
I mean, that share price shot through the roof because we all know what's happened to Tongat in recent times, and they need to get their hands in as much cash as possible. So I think a relief there for Tongat shareholders that the fact that this deal is actually going to go through now.
Very interesting indeed. And just going back to something we discussed earlier about what do you do in these circumstances, not your advice, I know you guys don't like that word, but when investors at home are seeing this kind of volatility, what's your word to them?
I think the main thing you must remember is you need to be diversified. You know, I cannot stress this enough. A lot of people, think of investing, especially investments on the stock market, as a bit of a gamble. You know, you put money down and you either get a payoff or you don't get a payoff. That's not what investing is about. Investing is about being as diversified as possible. What does that mean? It means that you must spread your risk across different markets, local markets, offshore markets, across, we call them asset classes,
yes.
You know, things like stocks and bonds. Stay as diversified as possible in uncertain times. When times are good, then you need to limit your diversity and focus on asset classes that are doing very good. This is not one of those times right now. And if you're uncertain about it, you don't need to do it alone. You know, there's lots of people out there that are used to and have the depth of experience to deal with conditions that we're seeing right now. At the end of the day, you're never alone with these things unless you put yourself in a position where you are going to be alone. And that's not a position you want to find yourself in.
Hmm. Nissan, thank you so much for your time as always. Nissan Nair, he's Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Securities.